Good morning, early birds. You've caught the worm, a podcast from Yellowstone Public Radio, rounding up reporting from our newsroom and Montana Public Radio. Today we have stories about managing grizzly bear conflicts on the Rocky Mountain front, census hiring, and how Crow Tribal Government is preparing for coronavirus. It's Monday, March 9th. I'm your host, Jess Sheldahl. Democratic Governor Steve Bullock is running for the U.S. Senate. He announced his campaign to try and unseat first-term Republican Senator Steve Daines this morning in a press release. Bullock enters the race after dropping out of a bid for president last year. Bullock had repeatedly said he wasn't interested in running for the Senate, but Bullock faced increasing pressure from party members to jump in as Democrats try to pick up seats in the Senate in 2020. Bullock met with Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer and former President Barack Obama earlier this year. Bullock has announced his candidacy and has until the end of the day to officially file for the 2020 ballot with the Montana Secretary of State. The Secretary of State's office says the Green Party has qualified to have candidates on the 2020 ballot in Montana. Signature gatherers turned in more than 11,000 signatures in Gallatin, Lewis and Clark, Missoula, Silver Bow, and Yellowstone counties, and enough were accepted to meet the minimum requirements. It's unclear who collected the signatures. Montana's Green Party says it wasn't them. A political action group that filed paperwork that would allow it to spend money to qualify the Green Party for the ballot said they had changed their minds after learning someone else had undertaken the effort. U.S. Interior Secretary David Bernhardt is directing the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to be more involved in managing grizzly bear conflicts on the Rocky Mountain front. Montana Public Radio's Aaron Bolton reports a letter sent Friday also calls for more funding for conflict specialists in Montana.
Bernhardt announced the new directive in a letter to Montana's lone U.S. House member and Republican gubernatorial candidate Greg Gianforte. Republican U.S. Senator Steve Daines received a similar letter. Bernhardt wrote that Fish and Wildlife will, quote, play a more conclusive role when deciding how to handle problem bears and will enter into a contract with the Department of Agriculture's Wildlife Services to help implement those decisions, end quote. The letter did not provide more specifics. Gianforte invited Secretary Bernhardt out to Shoto last fall to hear from ranchers, community members, and local elected officials who say the expanding grizzly population in and around Glacier National Park is moving further onto the front, leading to livestock depredations and posing a threat to human safety. Gianforte says he's happy with Bernhardt's response and says it's conclusive with the Endangered Species Act.
The secretary has essentially put in some additional tools in the toolbox to help us deal with problem bears as we work towards delisting.
Bernhardt's letter says the administration will direct more funding to wildlife services, which investigates livestock depredations, to hire more bear conflict specialists in Montana. Bernhardt wrote in the letter that Interior will also work to update guidelines for hazing bears. MTPR requested more details from the department about the new directive and a timeline for the policy changes, but did not hear back by deadline. Gianforte said his office will keep in close contact with the Interior Department as more details about Bernhardt's directives become available. Aaron Bolton, Montana Public Radio News.
A Bozeman fishing guide who announced late last month he would seek the Democratic nomination in Montana's U.S. Senate race is dropping out. Josh Seckinger said Friday he was leaving after 16 days to endorse Governor Steve Bullock. On Thursday, Libertarian Eric Fulton of Whitefish filed to seek his party's nomination in the Senate race. With less than a month to go before the U.S. Census Bureau kicks off its headcount of every person in the country, Montana has only hired half of the workers it says it needs. Eric Young reports the Bureau is still seeking temporary workers leading up to April 1st.
There are currently 2,400 projected temporary workers for Montana Census, though no one has officially been hired yet. 4,000 enumerators going door-to-door is the Bureau's hiring goal. U.S. Census spokesperson of Montana Josh Manning says that if this number isn't met by the census day, workers from nearby locations will travel to areas that are lacking.
So you may have, you know, someone from Missoula show up in Bozeman, you know, to help out there. And so we'll at least be in a situation, I hope, where we can have Montanans counting Montanans. But in the past, what they've had to do is ship in people from other states, so from like Washington or New Jersey or Texas, which may have had a good count, and they're done. And so they'd send them up to Montana or North Dakota or Wyoming or Mississippi or somewhere else to make sure that those rural places get counted.
He says that partnerships with groups like Western Native Voice have already made a difference in areas that in past census years proved hard to count.
Every tribal nation here in Montana has met or exceeded the recruiting goals that we put out, which has just been astounding. And that just really speaks to the organization and to the spirit and to the understanding of all of our tribes here in Montana that this is super important. And if they don't get in at the beginning, they're going to be left behind at the end.
New this year, people will be able to respond to the census online. Manning says a more accurate count of Montana's population may result in another seat in the House of Representatives, along with an additional $2,000 a year in state funding for each resident counted. An ID number will be sent out in the mail for online access starting March 12th. With YPR, I'm Eric Young.
As organizations on the Crow Reservation in South Central Montana prepare coronavirus contingency plans, some tribal members say the threat of coronavirus is still too distant to be an immediate source of concern. Kayla DeRoche reports Crow Tribal Government is in contact with state public health officials and, like other tribes in the state, are preparing for the possibility of coronavirus reaching their communities.
70-year-old Peggy Well-Known Buffalo sits in a big, cushy chair in Centerpole, her nonprofit coffee shop and soup kitchen in Gary Owen. A few people eat from a lunch spread of beans, salad, and pie. Well-Known Buffalo opens a plastic bag full of dried sage and piles the herb into a half shell.
I sure nailed this stuff up.
She lights a match and touches it to the sage, which catches fire and fills the room with a sweet, woody smell.
Did you use any? Amelia loved it.
Well-Known Buffalo says people in the community already take preventative measures, like washing their hands, and sage is one of the traditional medicines that strengthens the immune system and protects against sickness, like the coronavirus.
We don't know if it's going to work, but it may. We've survived through the smallpox. We survived by a lot of diseases the settlers brought in. So we're going to survive this one with our medicine.
She says people in the community are dealing with more urgent concerns on a day-to-day basis than the possible spread of coronavirus, like hunger, low employment, and housing issues.
If when you mean, what are you doing to get prepared? We've always lived in a crisis situation, so we always have to be ready for the worst.
At the same time, Well-Known Buffalo says she is worried about what Centerpole would do if there's an outbreak of coronavirus in Billings. That's where the nonprofit gets most of the food it gives out, and where it would probably pick up things like soap and hand sanitizer in the case of a breakout.
If someone catches it in Billings, all us res people have to stay home. So I better have something here, you know, because that would probably wipe us out totally.
Services across the Crow Reservation appear to be gearing up. Ed Eastman, Public Safety Director for the Crow Tribe, says tribal administration has advised people to wash their hands and use hand sanitizer on social media, an important communication tool in the area.
Because we're so rural.
Eastman says the tribe has been in close contact with the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the Indian Health Service, and the state.
Well, we're pretty much in the same boat as everybody else. You know, all this stuff's totally new to us.
Like the tribe, a local Crow Agency elder home says it's been in talks with the state. At the Away Kulawaja Care Center reception desk, HR coordinator Katie Seibel takes out a huge binder and flips to an email calling for a briefing between care centers and the Montana Department of Public Health and Human Services earlier in the week.
With being HR, everything has to be documented or it didn't happen.
She says the state gave Away Kulawaja and other care centers the rundown of what they were required to do, along with a timeline and a list of supply vendors for standard things like gloves and masks, as well as for equipment like ventilators.
So we wanted to get right on that and be ahead of the curve with everyone and get some of the supplies ordered because they were worried a little bit about can we get the supplies if everybody's doing it? And so we just followed their lead.
Seibel says the center runs its staff through emergency preparedness at least twice a year, and this is business as usual in many ways, but with more stringent screening for symptoms. Community members in Crow Agency sound wary, but otherwise unconcerned. At a local Conoco, people stop for gas and snacks, and a group of kids passes through the parking lot riding tricycles and bouncing balls on the cement. 27-year-old McDonald's worker, Kateri Davis, says she's not too worried at this point.
I don't know. It never reached us, any of these weird Ebola and all those crazy stuff, so I don't think no one's taking it serious.
Other people express concern for their children, like 45-year-old certified nurse assistant Carrie Other Medicine, who comes out of the gas station store to meet her family in their car.
I've been telling my kids to wash their hands.
Right?
I just said, keep washing your hands everywhere you go. That's all I said. Still living life like normal. Not too scared. We're crows. If it takes us, it takes us. That's all I can say.
Other reservations and tribal governments across the state are also stepping up prevention measures. The Fort Peck, Assiniboine, and Sioux tribes say they recently spoke with the Indian Health Service and other agencies. Charcoosta News reports Confederated Salish and Kootenai tribes are also restricting work-related travel by tribal employees to known hotspots like Washington State, California, and Oregon. Reporting from Crow Agency, I'm Kayla DeRoche for Yellowstone Public Radio News.
And that's what's happening in Montana today. Check in with Montana Public Radio's Montana Evening News for updates on the news of the day. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Jess Sheldahl. We'll have another episode of The Worm for You Early Birds tomorrow morning.
The Worm is produced by Jess Sheldahl for Yellowstone Public Radio. Theme music composed and recorded by Zach Jones at Rapscallion Recording. Meadowlark Call captured by Jay McGowan for the Macaulay Library. Partial funding for The Worm is provided by the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication on issues, trends, and values of importance to Montana. More information about The Worm is available at ypradio.org.